scripture for tonight will be Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment.
Good to see everyone. I thought I was going to have a chance tonight. Van just showed up. I was going to talk. Neither elder here. I had a lot to say, but it's okay. I'll get back to the lesson. Good to see everybody out this evening. You know, let's start out with a question. I suppose, really, I guess on your outline, I hope you got a handout. But can science defeat death? I want you to think about that. Can there be more, or can there be a time, can there ever be a time through genetics and through bioengineering, through science and research, that there'll be no more dying, that there'll be no more growing old, that there'll be no more sickness? And I just wonder sometimes, and we hear a lot about genetic engineering, we hear a lot about the advances that science has made as far as the human body goes, and will there ever be a process or an aging process that science can stop the aging process, and that we can live indefinitely, even live forever on this planet? And I know that most of you are looking at me like, yeah, that's going to happen. And you may think these questions are silly and absurd. Nobody's ever even really said that that's ever going to happen. And only some whacked out guy is going to ever think that's going to happen. But I'll tell you what, you'd be wrong in thinking that. Do a little bit of research. But I tell you what caused me to do this, every time I go to North Carolina, I'm surrounded by people with a lot of money and no sense. And what happens down there, there's just the people that I know, that how they live, they act, and they act like that life, the life that they have, is going to last forever. And they live like they're going to live forever. And everything that they ever wanted and needed is at their beck and desire, and they live that way. And if something gets broke physically, they just get it fixed, and tomorrow's another day, and they're just going to be there on MRI all their lives, and everything's going to be just like, it's just like a forever attitude. So when you're around that long, let's get thinking about some things. I want to give you some examples about some billionaires that are in Silicon Valley. This guy's name is Larry Ellison, and he is a co-founder of Oracle. And he just gave $430 million to that company, and that's just a little bit less than $500 million. And he gave that toward anti-aging research. And he believes that we must not give in to mortality. In other words, we must not give in to death as we live on this earth. Another is a Google founder that I found, co-founder, Larry Page. He launched a biotech company called Calico, and that company, its aim is to extend life expectancy 100 years. In other words, 3, 4, and 10 is what the Bible says, the average that a man lives, but by reason of good decisions, it's longer or shorter, bad decisions. But his idea is, if we're living that long, guys, there are advances being made that we'll be able to live 180 years, 200 years. He's into at least, we can add another 100 years to our expected life expectancy now. He's about doubling our lifespan. Then there's this futures guy that I found, Ray Kurzweil, and he's actually director of engineering at Google. All these guys got lots of money. Now, his statement is that if we can survive to the 2040s, that's 30 years from now. Most of us in this room, a lot of us, will be gone 30 years from now. But if we can live that long, and so let's all shoot for that, he believes that by then there'll be genetic engineering, they'll have it perfected, that we'll be able to live forever, that they'll have it figured out. If we just all of us make it to the 2040s, that by then, and he gives it that much time, and then money's into it, and he's figuring that out. The PayPal founder, Peter Thiel, created what's called Breakout Lab. And it's to fund scientists and startup companies in achieving the very thing we're talking about tonight, immortality. And of course, immortality means never die. You know what that means. And he's asked $3.5 million to a Methuselah Foundation. And of course, he knows that. I wonder what that is. Methuselah lived, over 900 years in the Old Testament. And so there are people trying to achieve that today. Then I found this guy, Aubrey de Grey. He's a biomedical genealogist, studies genes, and he treats aging as an engineering problem when it comes to cells. And his theory is that if we can get the right genetic code in the cells of your body, In other words, we can reprogram the cells that are aging and dying and changing. And what will happen is he believes that our generation actually will be the first generation to achieve immortality because they're going to figure out a way to regenerate the cells so that we won't age. And he's actually saying there's a person on this earth right now that is going to be the first person that's lived to be 1,000 years old. So, and it's an interesting thing. All these things that I've come up with, I'll just say it to you. The source of what I just came up with is from a magazine called Skeptic Magazine. And the publisher and the editor is a guy by the name Michael Schumer. And he's an atheist. You know, when you're an atheist, when you're dead, you're dead all over. And I always thought that atheists thought that, just live it up, eat, drink, and be merry while you're here, because after that, it's gone, you're done. Well, evidently I'm wrong about that, because atheists, what same thing mean you do? They want to live forever. All right? So this guy is interested enough in living and achieving immortality that he has all these guys in his magazine. I just thought that was interesting. That like ourselves, that we seek eternal life, these guys do too. Okay, realistically, what are the chances of any of what I just read by any of those guys and all those billionaires and all that money and all that talk about genetics and regenerating cells? What's the odds that somewhere down the road that that's going to work? We know it's going to work. We know, and really you don't even have to, the scripture reading that is read, but we're quite sure that all of that is not going to eliminate death. It's just not. We know that. And again, if we didn't have the scriptures to teach us anything, we know past experience that people die. People are going to die. To the old people who are going to live in modern times, Jean Calment of France. She's the oldest person ever recorded, lived the longest. She was from France. She lived 122 years. She died in 1997. So about 19 years ago, this lady lived 122 years. Now, the current oldest living person today is named Emma Murano. She's from Italy. Emma. She just had a birthday, November 29th. She is turned 117 years ago, just past November 29th. She's the oldest recorded living person today, all right? So she's 117. She attributes her life to eating 3 raw eggs a day and not being married. There you go. There it is. What are you laughing at, the eggs or not being married? All right. So, all persons, now think about that, all persons that have lived prior to November 29th, 1899, they're gone. They're dead. All of them have died. There's no one born before that day that is alive today. So we can just look around and know that it's happened. So past experience has told us that human life ends. All life ends. And I think that we have some clues about the future then without even looking at the sense that people die. Alright, this life's going to end. And of course, what Android read, Hebrews 9:27, the classic verse, it's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die once. One time. Physical death. Alright. And then after that, of course, comes the judgment. Let's go back. Hold on, Hebrews. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Then you have man and woman, and sin in the garden, of course, and the curse is on them. Well, what happened? What's the curse? Look at verse 19. Genesis 3, verse 19. By the sweat of your face, you will eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust. And to dust, he says, you shall return. This is God speaking to Adam. He's telling Adam, now you're going to die. You came from the dust of the ground. Your body, your physical body, will return to the dust in the ground. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Let's look at verse 14. He says, for we will surely die, and are like water filled on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. What a comparison is to death. And that's how death is. He describes it that way. You'll never see water once it's filled on the ground. It gets absorbed in the ground. It disappears. It's gone forever. You forget about it. Nobody here knows their great-great-grandmother or grandfather. Might know their name, maybe. But go another generation. You forgot about even your own relatives. Their life is now, I don't know. We read about George Washington more than we read about our relatives on their own blood that's passed on. they're forgotten about. Filled water is forgotten about. It's absorbed. It's gone. A life is gone. 2 years go by. It's forgotten about. That's his point. All right? Notice Job, chapter 3. Look at Job. And really, he's talking about death. Again, I got it somewhere. I'll tell you what, I'm getting bad about that. Okay, go. Job, chapter 30. And again, verse 23. Job says this, "For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house of meeting for all of the living." Job says, "I know I'm going to die. I know that you're going to bring me there." He's well aware of that, and Job certainly did die. In the book of Ecclesiastes, I think it's about chapter 3 where we hear that song from the birds. See everything turn, turn. There's a season. Time for living, time for death. I like that song. But it talks about there's a time for all of that. Now turn to chapter 9, verse 5. Okay? Notice what he says. "For the living now," he says, "for the living know they will die." Don't we? Don't we? Do you? "The living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten." What is the reward of the dead? Their memory. We just said a few generations, you only remember that. The dead know nothing. The dead know plenty. There's examples in the Hadean realm of, you know what happened. You know about your brothers that are back here. You know that you were rich. You know that you were poor. You know that the life that you had. When he says the dead know nothing here, it means that the dead don't know that Donald Trump is president. The dead don't know if they died last year that Donald Trump is president. They might know who the president was when they died. But the dead don't know what's happening here on this world. They don't know. Current events, I'll put it that way. The dead only know what to the point that they died. They can recall that. Their consciousness in death. But notice verse 10. He says, "Whatever you find your hands to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you're going." That's it. And that's where we're going. And that's what the wisest man in the world ever talked about. That's where you're going. And so just a few Bible verses in the Old Testament. We could go through the New Testament. It's a steady stream. There are many other passages that we could offer from both the Old and the New Testament, but there's just sort of too many to mention. It is the very nature of our existence. Our nature, our very nature, our existence says we're going to die. That this nature, that this existence that we have is going to end. Each one of us. That's a fact. We know that. Modern science can do a lot to extend life. And they've done a lot to extend life. And I think it's amazing what's been done. Great deal. Look at the advances in nutrition. Look how many diseases really have been virtually wiped out. All of those things. Improving a lot of things in life. Work environment. We can growl all day about Earth and the different things. But I'll tell you what, you want to turn the clock a little bit back. And when we didn't have some of these safety regulations, they made our life good. I don't want to debate that. But I'm just saying that the work environment is a lot safer than it's ever been for a lot of us. And that's why we are able to live a little bit after we at least quit our job. And I think as a result of that, we're extending human life expectancy in all of those areas, medically, in industrial, all that. But can science eliminate death as these billionaires of science? And that's another question. And really, fighting against our very nature is what they're doing. Doing battle with the very nature that God has given us. And really, when you think about it, they're fighting against God. In the fact that they're trying to eliminate death, and really it is a losing battle. And that's a lot of money that's being poorly spent. And yet, I look at all this, and there's good news. Nobody likes to talk about dying. Nobody likes to talk about the fact and look at the scripture that we just did. Folks don't want to hear about death and dying, and I really don't like to talk about it, but it's fact. It is a fact as sure as we're living. And yet, here's the good news that follows all of that, that we as humans, that as we are, and not by the means of science, but we can live forever. We can conquer death. We can live forever. And the Bible plainly states that. It is a promise from the Word of God. The reason is, one of the reasons is, that God is forever. God has been forever. He's going to be the forever source of our life eternal. God is the source. Psalm 9, please.
Notice what Moses says in Psalm 9, verse 1. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Moses says, you are God. What does that mean when it speaks of everlasting to everlasting? Well, it means forever. It means eternal. God, he always has been. He's everlasting. He always will be. All right? He is until everlasting. Until everlasting. That's what he's saying. It means it's no beginning. And with no beginning, God has no end. What a source that is. Unlike any other source that we can comprehend humanly. Alright? And the same thing can be said about the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. It is an eternal spirit. He's spoken of it that way. And Jesus speaks of himself that way. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and I think it's verse 11. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. There's no one prior to Jesus. There's been no one prior to him. No one after him. You don't find somebody older than Jesus, or older than God, or older than the Holy Spirit. You just don't find it. God's eternal. God is forever. The Holy Spirit is forever. The source of living forever is God. We need to recognize that. Now, living forever, how does that work? Well, the Lord is, he's the conduit in that. It is through his life, he is the one through him, that we do gain eternal life, that we do gain living forever. Eternal life then is provided by God through Jesus Christ. That's it. 1 John chapter 5. Solidly in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life, given by God. How's that come about? Where's that come? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. That's the promise. Look at it. This is the testimony that God, that he has given us eternal life, and that is where? In his Son. Alright. Immortality then. Of course, eternal life. That's what immortality is. Let me hear somebody say that. The testimony that God has given us, eternal life is found in his Son, John 11. John chapter 11. Jesus made that claim as he spoke to the sisters of Lazarus. Look at this verse. I want you to read verse 23. He says, Jesus said to her, your brother, all right, your brother's going to rise again. Now, when he said that, Jesus makes the promise of immortality about life to the brother here. He's making that Martha said to him, well, I know he's going to rise again. He's going to rise on the resurrection day. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Jesus tells her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. When he says, I'm the resurrection, what he means is, he's the source of the resurrection. Jesus is the source of life. Alright? You're not going to have it without him. You're not going to have eternal life without him. There's going to be no resurrection without Jesus. He's talking here not about the physical part, the physical resurrection that we presently have, how we are. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about living forever is what he's talking about. I'm the resurrection of life. I'm the source of life. He who believes in me, alright, we're going to do what? We're going to die spiritually or physically. We're going to die physically. Though he may die physically, the one who believes in him shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Immortality. Never die. You believe this? She said, yeah. Yes, I do. I believe, she says, that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus makes a very specific promise about eternal life to those that believe it. And believe him. John chapter 10. The promise that Jesus makes is something you can't miss. I tell you what, we're not coming up with some theory. It's not some spiritual idea. This isn't something that I figured out or you figured out. This isn't something that somebody on TV made up. We're looking at what Jesus Christ said to us, to you, about living forever. Alright? It's unmistakable that the promise that Jesus is making about living forever, you believe it? Did you really believe that?
You know, sometimes I think people think church, you know, church, it's just a nice place for a little old lady to come and bring her grandkids, and they talk about Noah and the ark and all the animals and Daniel and the lion's den and hearing some hillbilly from West Virginia that's not even an ordained divine guy spout off with a bunch of uneducated people. That's not what this is about. This is about living forever. I'll tell you why I'm here. I want to live forever. I want to live forever. According to the promise Jesus made, those who follow Him, it's going to happen. Now look, John chapter 10. Let's read verse 27. I think that's about where it is. Yeah, 27. My sheep, that's us. We hear His voice, and I know them, Jesus says, and they'll follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. Wow. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. I give eternal life to him, never die. Eternal life, never die. What a promise. Now, you don't need to go to Silicon Valley to figure that out. You don't need to talk about the billionaires. We need only to go to Jesus Christ. And just this little bit of reading, I can tell you right now, He's the one that provides that. He's the one that has that. He promises that we can live forever. Young as you are today, you can live forever. That's a promise. Apostle Paul in Titus 1, those opening verses, Paul said that he lives in hope of eternal life. That even in the beginning, God who cannot lie promised that eternal life. And science, although they can do many wonderful things about our life and our life expectancy and all of those things, science cannot provide eternal life. They just can't do it. They might be able to get us to live like those ladies from Italy, 120 years maybe, but you know what? Even if they did, maybe once they did get us to live a couple hundred years. Do you know what? Scientists can't stop accidents. They can't stop tragedies from happening, can they? People still get killed, don't they? They can't stop all of that. There's accidents and disasters. We're going to die. And we know that. We know that. But Jesus promises that though you may die, and though you may be put in a grave, that there is coming a resurrection day. And on that day, eternal life. You will be resurrected to live forever. That's the promise. And when that day comes, I can tell you, the problem of dying will be over. The problem of aging will be over. That's the promise on the resurrection day. Do you know that? And speaking one time, I don't know how long it's been or where, a little girl was amazed about eternal life in heaven. And really, the question was, she talked about, what about the 95-year-old lady that walked, humped over with a cane, and is that how she's going to be in heaven? No. No, that's not how she's going to be in heaven. That's not it. It will not be that way. Humans will live forever in heaven. But we are going to be living in a different state. When I say us living in heaven, that we never age, I'm speaking about those of us that are in Christ this morning. In Christ, you're going to enjoy this. You're going to be there. He's going to raise us up on the last day. Alright? They're going to be raised up to eternal life. John chapter 6. Look at verse 40. He says this, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And I myself, Jesus, will raise him up on the last day." There's no difference in the Bible between everlasting life, eternal life, life everlasting. It's all the same thing. Eternal life, same thing. So coming the day of resurrection, Jesus talked about it, alright? And on that day, death and aging are brought to an end. On that day, alright? 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to see something there. That death and aging will end at the second coming of Christ. Let's look at this. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more aging. Alright? So I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus now reigns. Did you know that? He's reigning. He's the King. King of kings, Lord of lords, reigning over this kingdom right here. Right now, the spiritual kingdom that you belong to. That's where the Lord is. Right hand of God. Alright? Now, He must reign. He must reign, says verse 25, until what?
1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, so he put all enemies under his feet. What's the last enemy? What's the last one? There's one enemy not under his feet. Look at verse 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That's not going to happen until it comes out. That's going to happen when the Lord returns on the last day. That's when death, that's when aging, that's when all of us are going to be destroyed and end. Can Christ defeat death? No way. Can Jesus defeat death? Indeed, he will defeat death. He will destroy death on the last day. Come down to verse 53. He says, this perishable, alright, this corruptible, your Bible may say, he's talking about our current body, your body, alright, this perishable body must put on imperishable. Our bodies are going to be changed on that day, alright? That's what the Bible says. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. What does corruption have to do with it? What, you ever think about that? Corrupt? Why is our body corrupt? Gets old, that's why. Our bodies get old. Our muscles start to ache. Our joints don't like to work like they used to. And we walk around with walkers and rollers and wheelchair and all of that. Our body's aching. We're in pain. We have issues, lung issues, heart issues, all kinds of things happen to us. Our body's aching. We're hobbled by this life. What a corrupt life it is. Think about the physical part of our life. We're subject to aging. We're subject to death. We're subject to illness. We're subject to disease. All of that. And that's what the Bible means. Guess what? All of that's going to be put away to non-perishable. Alright? Not corruptible, but incorruptible. Our bodies will no longer, on that day, be subject to such things. Not in eternity. The mortal must put on immortality. Mortal what? Means death, subject to death. This mortal body, this mortal existence is going to be changed on that day to immortality. What the Silicon Valley scientists are looking for and spending billions of dollars on, you know when that's going to happen, don't you? When's that going to be achieved? The last day. The day Jesus Christ returns and the resurrection happens. That's when it's all going to happen. This mortal will put on immortality, so will the incorruptible. And then it'll be brought to pass. What's written? What's written? Death. Death's going to be swallowed up. What a victory. Death was your sin. Death's going to lose. The place of the dead, the Hadean realm, going to lose. Death and the Hadean, they both lose. Because we win when we're in Christ. When that day comes. Alright? And so those who share in the resurrection never age. Never. Never grow old. Always feel strong. Always feel good. Always feel healthy. Unless that's all the Bible says, I need to quit preaching. That's what it says. That's what this Bible says. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's going to live forever? Do you believe it's going to happen? I understand it that way. No one's believing. Do you believe you're always going to be young and strong and beautiful? I do. I believe that's the body that we're going to be given that is suited to live forever and ever in heaven. I believe that's what's taught. Well, our God has promised us life everlasting. Eternal life. And so, and I had a preacher tell me one time that I didn't know what I was talking about, that when, and talking about the little lady that's having a lot of problems, that's how she's going to go through eternity. That's not it. God has promised us life. Not some kind of feeble existence in heaven forever. We're a new body. That's how we're going to be in heaven. I believe we're going to have this, though. I'm going to recognize you. You're going to recognize me. I believe my personality's in heaven. I'm going to still be Jesus gentle. You're going to be who you are. That spirit that God gave you is still going to be in you. What a glorious place. What a glorious time that would be. Well, can you imagine what it would be like to live forever and ever in heaven? You know, most of us are on the shady side of the hill like I am, you know, 40, 50, 80, 100. I'll tell you what, it's been downhill for me ever since I was 25, I don't know about you. You know, I can feel that. corruption, ugliness, pain, sorrow, misery, death, deformed bodies, diseases, all those things, but in eternity our bodies will be forever young. In eternity our bodies will be forever healthy and forever powerful. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at verse 42. It describes the resurrected body. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, that's us, raised a spiritual body. Different body now. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. You can count on that. So also is written, the first man Adam became a living soul, the last man Adam became a living spirit or a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have been born, or born the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. These bodies, the apostle is describing as your body, and he's talking about, what he describes here is that this body, it's going to be set for eternal glory. It's going to be different. It's going to be a different type of body. And look, it's just not that heavy. Look at Philippians chapter 3. At the close of the chapter, Paul says this, our citizenship, verse 20. Our citizenship, that is where we belong, where is it? Is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will do what? What's he going to do? He's going to transform our lowly body. That's what you have got right now, that lowly, corruptible body, alright? That's aging, that's corrupt, that's growing old, that's subject to disease, all the pain. What's he going to do? It will transform our lowly body that we may be what? Conformed to what? His glorious body. Wow. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. See, John says how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. I wonder, do you wonder? No, it's not appeared yet what we'll be. I know what I am right now. I know how I am right now. I know how you are. I know what happens to this body. I know all about this body, but it's not appeared to us yet how this is going to be. But we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we're going to be like him. Our body is going to be like the Lord's body. An eternal body, a spiritual body, conformed for an eternal glory life in heaven. What is that? Because we will see him just as he is. Remember that word now. Look at verse 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's why we can stay forever young. And that's why we can stay forever powerful. That's why we can stay forever strong. I have that hope. I want a body like the Lord has. That eternal body that I've not seen yet. That I don't totally comprehend yet. That I've got a good idea of what I hope it's like. Let me tell you that God will do for us what science, what genetics, what Silicon Valley can never do. You know what? God can take you all the way to death. And God can take you all the way even past the point of death. And you're dead. And you know what he can do after that? He can raise you to life. I don't care what they discover in California. They'll never be able to do that. Never. Why in the world? Why in the world would anybody in this room turn away from that? I would. Why don't you think about that? Why in the world would anybody ever want to resist and deny what's coming? Why would you not want an eternal body fitted forever and ever and live with God forever and ever? Think about that. Someone says, you know, I just don't know now.
I'm just not ready to be a Christian. I'm not ready to take all that on. I don't want to do all that. They might make me do something. You're not ready to receive this kind of promise. You're not ready to receive this kind of reward. You're not ready to receive this inheritance, this eternal life. You're not ready for this. I will give you. I do not understand why anybody would not want this and desire this, because I'm coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it's going to happen.
Remember, we were young. 13 is always going to be 13. 14 is all, I'm always going to be 14. I'm going to live forever. That's why I took the chances I took when I was a kid. Nothing's going to hurt me. I turned around, I turned 40. I'm not going to tell you what's next week. Turned around twice. 60's out the door. It's crazy. Young does pretty quick. We thought we had forever. It doesn't take long to live a lifetime. It just doesn't. Those of us who are aging, you know what? The reality of eternity gets more and more real every day. It just does. And we think about it. We think about the reward. And it gets clearer every day to me, like this morning's lesson. But what word could you use to describe eternity for a Christian? What would you use? Fantastic? Wonderful? Spectacular? All those words just seem short. But God is making us the most spectacular, the most grandest offer ever. He's offering it to us. He's giving it to us. And I just have a hard time fixing it in my mind how any one of us can turn that down. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Guess what? You do that, you're going to receive a new body fitted for eternal heaven. That's the promise. That's the promise. I can promise you that everybody in this room is going to die. And I can promise you that everybody in this room is going to be resurrected. But I can't promise you that everybody in this room is going to have a body fitted for eternal glory. It may be eternal damnation. And really and truly, that choice has been given to you. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and you'll receive that eternal body fitted for glory, just like Jesus. Please come. That's together we stand and come.